This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. I hope you're having a great day. Coming up here at 4:20, you're going to be tuned into Jeff and Brian's draft segment of the day as they'll take you inside their scouting room and give you some of the highlights of things they're checking out there with the NFL draft now fast approaching. We are 2 months and a couple of days away. Okay, if you're Dak Prescott, do you believe in yourself so much you could go double tag and see this thing through? Don't even make concessions. Just say no. You can look at the numbers. You can look at how much I've been winning since I got here. I saved your ass in 2016. I've been the most underpaid player, so you can give me market value and maybe even, I don't know, add a little bit to that. $200 million is probably good for, you know, 5 years. But if not, we'll just play it out. It's fine. You know, I'm playing well. And, you know, I think the franchise tag sounds great. Yeah, what do I get? I get 27, and then I'll get 35, and then maybe even more than that the next year. If you want to keep on tagging, that's fine with me too, because I bet on myself once, and I'm going to bet on myself again. I saw Chris Sims today on NBC Sports talking about that, and he was advocating strongly because he feels like the Cowboys are not doing the right thing here. You know, here's this guy that, you know, has been playing great. People in his same draft class already got rewarded. You didn't want to do it then. The guy bet on himself, and he was great. So now what do you want to do? You want to cross your arms and say it again? So if you're Dak seeing how the Cowboys are lining that thing up, you know, and now you know, dude, I'm 24 months away from holding a negotiating hammer that I would never dream of happening, and the market's going up.
Well, and his hammer might get bigger over the next couple of days because the owners have approved a CBA proposal, which, in case anybody doesn't remember this, right now they would be going into the, quote, final league year.
Yeah.
So you have a franchise tag and a transition tag. You can tag two players. That's not true most years, and it's not true if they agree to a new CBA. And now they may be on the doorstep to approving it.
Hmm.
So if that happens, Dak is looking at the team going, you have to get my deal done or Amari Cooper's a free agent.
Oh, because it'll go back to one tag.
Because it'll be one tag.
One tag.
So Amari Cooper becomes a free agent if you don't get my deal done.
Wow.
Because you're going to have to tag me.
Mm.
So Amari Cooper right now and CAA have to be sitting there going, guys, you have to give us exactly what we want, and you have to do it now, or you're going to lose your best receiver.
One of these deals needs to get done.
Yeah, or you're just going to have to get into a bidding war for him.
Hmm.
I mean, good luck.
Yeah. So patience and time is paying off big time for the player right now.
Yeah, but they're going to, this is what we were talking about next week as the combine gets going. Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, Adam Pacifica, Todd Williams, those guys are going to meet with agents face to face in Indianapolis. If they get the CBA thing taken care of, if the players ratify it, now you're going to see a flurry of deals. I think next week is going to be a huge week for the Dak Prescott. I guarantee you we'll be doing radio one afternoon, and we're going to have some conversation about some talks or things we're hearing. Maybe it's close. They need to cross this T, dot this I. We'll have that kind of news coming out of Indy.
That would be awesome. You know, and it definitely seems like the owners are very urgently trying to get this done. 3 weeks ago, they had a deal that they liked and sent it to the players and said, take it or leave it, right? And now a few weeks later, they have another one. So they're trying to throw multiple things and create urgency. I don't know why it benefits them so much. Do you, Brian? Do they just want to avoid the even idea of a work stoppage?
I don't think anybody wants the work stoppage.
Yeah.
You know, players realize what's ahead. And I was one of those guys that kept telling my friends over there at DallasCowboys.com, guys, we got to keep, you know, we got to hope this keeps going. We don't need this thing to strike. Not only the players, but if they strike, then we're out of jobs too. So it affects a lot of people, a lot of livelihood there. But yeah, the players don't want to go through that part of it.
You know, if Dak, you know, and young guys, we all felt like I'm never going to get hurt, right? So if the Cowboys aren't giving you exactly what CAA is asking for right now, how much of you would say, I'm fine to play on the tag? Tank was happy for 1 year. You do that for 2 years. And the only thing that would give me pause is, what if the Cowboys would seriously decide if we negotiate this thing too hard to move on? That's the only thing I'm trying to avoid. That's the only thing that sort of stops the party. Because if you're going to give me essentially $60 million to play the next 2 years, what really is an injury risk at that point?
And it's really $70 million.
It's $70 million for 2 years. I'm not worried about an injury. I'm just trying to get the maximum amount of money on that eventual big contract. Right now, I'm in my early 20s. I love the idea of taking a couple of balloon payments right now for 1 year and then tacking 4 or 5 years onto it. If we do 4 or 5 years now, I might not make it to the end of the contract, right? So I'm looking at contract plus $70 million of these tags. I mean, the value is just incredible for me right now at this age in a sport that you have built to ensure the quarterback has an optimal chance to stay healthy. Where's my risk? I don't know. I'd be really tough to get to the bargaining table if I'm CAA. Is this the $200 million email? Nope. Okay. We look forward to a franchise tag. My guy's only getting better and not getting hurt.
That's what I don't understand about the betting against a player. Like, what about Dak's first 4 years and his current surroundings would make you think you're going to get a better deal next year? What in the world would his season have to look like for you to get to next offseason and give him less?
You could engineer it, you know, if you wanted to do what Bassick wants. You trade Tyron Smith.
Okay,
you don't bring back Amari Cooper.
Right.
And now, you know, maybe it's a 19-point-per-game offense, but you just tanked away your greatest chance. So that makes no sense.
Yeah, I just, you know, I'm thinking about this whole thing for Prescott, though, and I think he wants to get the long term deal. I don't think they want to go for the tag. It's about getting that signing bonus. It's about getting that money right now. Now, once you put your name on that franchise tag, that's yours. But the lack of not having that money right now, that's not having
$60 million up front's
a lot of fun. Exactly. That's something. Once you put that check in the bank, or once they break that up for you, then pay in certain payments.
What's that day like? Because that money is, I think it's at signing, isn't it?
Well, what they do is they'll split it up. They'll have certain times of the year, so they won't hit it all one lump sum. They'll break it up. Say $28 million this time, and then another payment at $28 million. They don't do a $60 million payment all at one time.
Could you imagine what that day would be like, though? You're just sitting at the house, and if you have alerts on your bank account, it goes ding. You click on it, and it's like, all right, you did have $1,100, and now you've got $30 million and $1,100.
Yeah.
Oh man,
I can't imagine what that kind of windfall would be like, and I think that's why for some players playing under that initial tag sounds great. How much have I made up to this point?
Yeah.
$600,000 a year, $700,000 a year, plus that added little bonus they give me, and I'm gonna double or triple that right now for at least year one. I'm fantastic. I'm never gonna have to work another day of my life.
I think quarterback's different. I think quarterback's a different position for that. Yeah, Tank's happy. Yeah, sure. Yeah, just don't tag me again. I'm not gonna play as nice.
Yeah.
But I think quarterback's a different position considering what we've seen from these quarterbacks through the years. If you want to put me in that list up there with Russell Wilson and those guys, well then by gosh, pay me like those guys.
That's why I think that would be the thing I would worry about is the team. Is the idea of, and Dak has shown zero signs of this, but when you start inching towards Kirk Cousins territory, when the player feels like you're either alienating him or not respecting him enough. And for Dak, I think Mina Kimes had a great point today where she was talking about if you're Dak, the idea of I'm going to take a deal that is really favorable to you would be rooted in because you are then going to make some outstanding decisions as a team. But the last decisions that I've seen as a team is you took care of a running back whose contract runs longer than mine before me, and you gave him everything he wanted. You took care of a linebacker whose contract is not up either before me. And so what about what you're doing makes me want to hook you up? And trust that you're doing the best things for us.
This goes back to the Jerry Jones Monday morning question. Is this our guy? Is this our guy? You know, and maybe there wasn't those questions of Lawrence and Smith and those guys. Maybe it wasn't, you know, it was Jerry Jones specifically asking the coaching staff, is this our guy? And there still could be that doubt there. There really could be.
Well, you know, but Jeff's making the point, I don't know how it correlates with what you were saying there, but Jeff's making the point that if you're Dak, you're asking for a pay cut so you can keep the team together. Why?
No, that's what I'm saying. I just think it's more this whole thing is about Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, they're saying everything to us out here about Dak, and we love Dak and all that. But then they look in their meetings privately, they're going, okay, we're about to hand this guy $38 million a year. Are we good with this? I remember Jerry Jones asking me about Leroy Glover. Brian, we're about to hand him $5 million. You feel good about this? You couldn't have driven a nail up my butt at that time. You know?
What'd you say?
I said, yes, sir, we could. Okay. Yes, sir, we could do this. But that's what I'm saying. Somebody is going to he's asking for somebody to tell him, is this our guy? Hmm. Give me some confirmation here. Maybe he hasn't seen it with his own eyes. Maybe he has.
So when Steven says, we need help putting this roster together, he's saying that for public so he doesn't have to slight his guy?
Exactly.
Okay, now I understand. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, there is another angle in here, and I don't want to put any idea in Dak's mind or words in his mouth or any other player's mouth. But do you think it impacts what we've seen transpire over the last 2-3 years in the NFL? The players watched a player take a stand for police brutality. The president called that guy a son of a B.
Right.
And then their team owner pretty much siding with the guy that called him a son of a B. Now, a couple of years later, you're asking me for a favor. If I'm at all social justice minded, police brutality minded, how the heck am I getting anywhere close to the idea that I'm doing any kind of a favor for this business party? You know, you rallied us together, and as a team, maybe we decided we're not going to talk about this stuff or take a knee because this is your stage, or you've convinced us that it's in my best long-term business interest to not think about these kinds of things. Fine. I'll come to work and be on your stage the way I want. But when it comes down to contract negotiations, it's going to be a cold day in hell, sir. Yeah. I could see. I don't know what the percentage of players are that would have a position like that. And I'm not even trying to ask you to choose sides on who is right and who is wrong. Just understand there's a certain percentage of people in the general U.S. population that probably supported Jerry and the president. But amongst the Players Association, the percentage is significantly lower.
Yeah.
So that's, I don't know, that's just the question I wanted to throw out there.
Well, and we're having some new stuff coming out about the potential new CBA. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, this thing is not getting approved.
Oh, really?
I would guess this is not getting approved by the Players Association. Like, I saw Jamal Adams this morning. He's like, 17 games, more money? Heck yeah. And Richard Sherman quote tweeted him. He's like, please call me. He was like, let me tell you what's going on. Hmm. So one of the things that is happening here, first of all, the owners are saying that they're probably going to add the extra playoff team, whether the CBA is approved or not.
Right on.
They're saying they believe that they can do that without the players' approval, that they can just add a playoff team.
Then add two.
Add 12. I don't care. And Tom Pelissero is reporting that if there's a 17th game in the schedule, how do we compensate the players for the 17th game that signed contracts for a 16-game schedule? The answer under the proposed CBA is they'd get an extra game check, but that game check would be capped at $250,000. So if you're a $16 million player, instead of getting that extra million, sorry, you went over the cap. So you only get a quarter of your normal amount for this game. There is zero chance the players are approving that.
I heard last night, too, that there's potentially no change in the drug policy as well.
Wow.
Okay, so this is not getting approved. The owners are just trying to cram something out there before a deadline.
So keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on that as well.
Yeah, a couple of days ago, they said they were going to shorten the window of time where the testing would occur from 4 months to 2 weeks and make it much more difficult to actually be punished for it. But
yeah, very slight change, if any.
Wow. So, yeah, you know, if you're the players, it does sound like this latest agreement that the owners looked at today and decided to send off to the players is going to get rejected once again.
The level of arrogance from the owners, like, even the playoff game thing is weird. Like, I want it. I want more football. So, yes, please do it. But the idea that in a collectively bargained business with two partners that you're like, well, if they don't approve that one, it's cool. We'll do it anyway.
You couldn't get that through if all of the members were drunk. There's no way that gets through. It's just a completely insulting idea. I wonder if this is part of the owners laying the groundwork to try to get public opinion on their side. Oh, we put up two proposals. You guys just keep shooting it down. You don't want to play football. You don't want these millions of dollars. Look at you guys. What are you, greedy?
Yeah, we're trying to give you $5 billion over the next 10 years is what we're trying to do. You don't want that?
Yeah, it's tactics. I think that's involved. And I don't know. I kind of got my hopes up earlier, but I guess I should have known better. These things don't get resolved like that. Okay, when we come back, G-Bag Nation, it'll be Jeff and Brian's draft segment of the day. What kind of golden draft content do you guys have prepared for us?
The NFL Combine is next week, and they are undergoing some massive changes we'll get you ready for next.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It is time now for what's going to be a daily tradition here on the show on your home of the Cowboys leading up to the NFL draft. Jeff and Brian's daily draft segment. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the office of Frankel & Frankel, 214-333-3333, or jump online to frankelfirm.com. Jeff?
The NFL Scouting Combine is next week. Well, let me rephrase. Technically, it starts Sunday. So it starts over the weekend when players start showing up to get touched and measured and interviewed and stuff. But we will have big-time changes to the Combine this year, which is not something that normally happens. Now, it'll still be in Indianapolis, which is a terrible place. Just want to see if Brian would react to that. It's a terrible place.
I was taught to hold my tongue until you get finished talking.
Oh, no. Well, the temperature, it's just too cold.
Okay. Then if you say that, yes. But you got to learn how to get through all the little buildings to get from one area to another without ever having to go outside.
Yeah, that's true. But you can't get to White Castle without leaving.
You got to go. But you borrow my coat.
I
did. Take my coat, my cold weather coat, and go get it.
I try to explain to people that if you live in Texas all the time and you rarely go to a real cold weather place, that you don't actually understand how to prepare for it because the numbers aren't real in your head where it's like, oh, it's going to be 12 degrees and the wind chill is going to be negative 15. It's like, oh, okay, so cold. So I'll wear a long sleeve t-shirt and a hoodie.
Yeah.
Because it's cold.
Yeah.
Then you step into it and you're like, oh, it cuts right through all of this and into my soul.
Yeah.
This is bad.
And happens so with my fiance all the time when we get up there to Oregon. I'm like, honey, you have a track jacket on. That's not going to stop the wind, you know, and it's a very light layer. But
yeah.
For her, anything under 50 is just track jacket.
Let me ask you guys this, though. Do you ever check the weather forecast when you go somewhere?
No.
Do you ever look and see?
Constantly. Yeah.
Yeah. Why not, Jeff?
I don't think about it. I don't do it here. Like, I'm never dressed appropriately when I walk out the door. Like, this morning, I woke up.
You have a nice suit on right now.
Well, thank you. I woke up this morning, and I looked outside, and I went, oh, look, I can see the sun. This is cool. And so I felt really confident walking outside, and then I got outside and went, holy balls, it's cold. So it tricked me with the sunshine. Tricked me.
It did look beautiful.
Yeah. When you came to Indianapolis, that's the coldest I ever remember being in Indianapolis.
It was so stupid.
It was stupid. It was stupid cold.
I walked outside in a hoodie, like, oh, yeah, this will be fine. And then I walked right back inside. I was like, Brian, you still got that thing you said I could borrow? And he's got, like, this go exploring the Antarctic jacket. And he's like, yeah,
put this on. That's a veteran of the combine right there.
I walked outside, and I was like, I can't feel anything. This is incredible.
Your proud Brian Parka?
It was well said. That was a Columbia proud Brian Parka.
Uh-huh. They are trying to modernize the combine a little bit, and it'll be interesting to get Brian's perspective because I know you still talk to a lot of scouts and GMs, but they're going through big time changes right now where some of the drills that we're used to will not be what they used to be. They'll be adding some new things. And even the interviews, they're going to change some stuff on that. The number of people you can talk to, how long you can talk to them. So all sorts of stuff is about to change at the Combine.
It went from a free-for-all to 60 players, and now we're down to 45 players. It's 20 minutes total, 15 minutes on, well, really 18 minutes on the interview, 2 minutes to get them in and out of your room. So that's something that's a lot different. I talked to some people last night around the league about that. Everybody seems to think that's okay. They're all right about that, but they're thinking about a little caveat here that they're talking about. I'll give you a little insight. You know, the 30 visits that when they bring them over to the star, the 30 visits all week long, the five days, Cowboys could bring in 30 players to visit. Well, the league is talking about allowing it to go to 35 players now, so you might get five extra guys. I heard you talking about Dallas Day and all the local guys too. So advantage for the Cowboys for that as well. So it sounds like talking to scouts around the league, they're okay with the smaller number of interviews. They're totally all right with that. And they're really happy about the fact that they're modernizing the drills. General, you were talking about, hey, how about the offensive lineman? How about some screen plays?
Yeah.
How about show me a guy that can pull a little bit, play in space and all that?
Sorry to interrupt you. No. When I was hearing it, though, I felt like, man, they're going to have some players do what they would be doing in a play.
Right.
Like kick out here and then get up the field.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
Almost take the exact steps you would if you were, you know, blocking as an offensive lineman.
Yeah, something a little bit different too. Yeah, show me that you could pull. Show me you could adjust in space. Something different in the past has been they've always shown where guys have taken dummy the shields, pads, and then you get on the other side of the guy, then he's going to drive block you and you kind of hold. They're bringing blocking sleds in to show guys the explosion, the extension. And then, you know, because when we go to Oxnard, we kind of go around the corner there. And we watch those offensive, defensive linemen hitting the sleds and things. So they're bringing those in the comment. That's the first time that they've ever done that. So, yeah, interview difference and then on-field drills differently. Getting rid of the bench press. Well, say
not yet.
Not getting rid of the bench press, but not making it the focal point. They've had some injuries in the past. That's been kind of a disappointing thing.
Now, are they going to bring in this medicine ball they were talking about?
So, not again. That's a not yet. It's interesting because the Combine Changes article, which I read on SI, they started the article with things that actually aren't changing, but about where it's headed to.
Okay.
Where they're like, yeah, the bench press will probably go away soon, and we'll try to find a better way to measure strength because bench press doesn't matter. Like, it tells me how often you're in the weight room. It can tell me that. And yes, it's impressive when Larry Allen bench presses 15,000 pounds. It's really impressive. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that you're a great blocker.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you get off press coverage well as a receiver. It just means that you can bench press well. So they are trying to figure out what's a better way to measure that. And they are talking about maybe getting like a medicine ball with a chip in it and figuring out how hard you can throw it or stuff like that where you can – really measure the
torque. Because that's a quick burst.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, push-ups, you got to do it for like 45 seconds. No play lasts that long. You're not wrestling a dude that long.
That's tiring, too.
Yeah.
So the on-field drills, there are other things that are changing. And the reason that they're doing this, the draft sets new ratings records every year. Every year, more and more people watch the NFL draft.
I know where
draft.
This is going, yeah.
Not true of the Combine.
Yeah.
But they have figured out when, like, the Combine got a 0.7 rating for a two-hour live special on a Saturday afternoon, a 0.7.
It's way worse than the XFL.
It's worse than a Mavericks game.
Yeah.
Right? It's worse than a Ranger game by far.
Yeah.
So they were looking at that, and they said, okay, here's what we're going to do. The highest rated thing is the on-field stuff. When the receivers are running around and catching the ball from the quarterback. Like
that's good.
That's the highest rated stuff. So what they're going to do is they're going to move that coverage into primetime. So we'll have primetime TV where you can be home after dinner and watch the NFL Combine and have the guys be on the field. That's the reason that they're changing some things is to get ratings. And I think some of the things they're absolutely changing to do a better job of evaluating players. And some of it also is going to be really, really good for TV because they're going to add a clock.
Yeah, there you go.
To a number of things.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you got the defensive backs out there and they do the W drill, like you backpedal, you come forward. You backpedal, you come forward. They're going to put that on a clock, which I don't think as a scout that would matter because I don't want you just going backwards and then forwards as fast as you can. I would like to see you do it properly, but I guess if you can do it properly and fast, that's great. But I'm not taking the guy who wins that on a stopwatch, but it's cool for the viewer.
The one thing I'd like to see him do is show me the time of the, and this is called, it's the Raider drill, where they backpedal 10, or backpedal 5, you open right or left, though they opening to show the hip flex, and then the sprint through. So you have pedal, open, and then sprint. That's the kind of thing. Okay, is a guy timing better going to his right? Is he better going to his left? Could he be a right corner for me or a left corner by the way he opens his hips? And how quickly is he doing it? You could see a lot about a player when they pedal, turn and go, you can see a lot about that explosive, the burst, and then also the flexibility in them.
So this will be another one that I won't care much about the time, but I think it's cool that they're going to time it. The receiver gauntlet, where they'll have receivers, tight ends, and running backs, where they are on one side of the field and they run horizontally across the field, and to your left, catch a ball, keep running. To your right, catch a ball, keep running. Right. So because if you can ride that line and be smooth with it and have a great time, I'd be like, okay, that guy's super coordinated and in control of where he's at. Because a lot of guys, if you try to go fast,
look bad.
Start weaving, you maybe drop a ball.
Fighting the ball.
But if you've got a guy that's smoothly catching it, never leaving the line, and he does it faster than most people, you're like, oh, we got something good here.
I do like it. That is really good. I think if you're going to call it the gauntlet, though, we need American gladiators with those tennis ball guns.
I agree.
Shooting them while the guy's trying to catch footballs.
I actually agree with
you. You can let him get a helmet
contested,
and visor.
Make it contested.
Yeah. We need to add something.
I was thinking a visor.
I was thinking more general, like when they're on those the podium and they got the big pads.
Joust.
Yes. Yeah, give me the big pads, and as the guy's going across, you slam him in the ribs with the big pads.
And what about that game where you try to get the balls out of the bin and then you dunk
Powerball.
Okay.
Powerball. Yes. Yeah.
Linebackers against running backs. Now we can evaluate and entertain.
Okay, now. How much would old school scout guy hate that? And how much would the ratings go up?
Right?
You'd be like, guys, we're getting nothing out of this. Literally nothing.
I told you I sat there in 1992 at the RCA Dome, and I said I couldn't believe they'd ever want to put this on TV. General just made it fun now.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay.
Yeah, so there we go.
Yeah, and it's like,
Welcome into the 2020 NFL Draft.
Baylor wide receiver Denzel Mims coming down the line. Oh, he's smooth with the first one. Nice catch with the second back. Nitro took him out! Oh, my God! Nitro decapitated him!
I don't know if he's going to be ready for training camp after that hit, Bob.
If you'll remember earlier, Devin Duvernay ran right through Thunder on this drill. So you're really going to hold that one against Mims.
Yeah, I upgraded him 2 rounds after that play.
The other drills are going to include the smoke route.
Smoke route, the screens.
For quarterbacks. So the smoke route is like when you're running your run pass option, you're RPO. Faking it to the running back, and you look on the backside, and nobody's covering your guy, and you whoo, wah, and you whip it out there. So that'll be very easy for receivers because they're running a one-step hitch and catching a football. But they are going to, and they're going to add a clock to this.
Right.
Because now they're going to time the drill from the quarterback's hands to the receiver's hands. So you'll get his release and you'll get the velocity and you'll be getting more information on stuff like that. And there will be the new screen drill for offensive linemen this year.
I like that a lot.
So you can see the speed in their blocking on screen plays. Offensive and defensive linemen in the combine used to do mirror drills where they would just shadow a guy back and forth. You had a guy acting as the rabbit.
The rabbit.
He had to chase around and he looked silly the whole time. The guy in this article talking about it said they eliminated the rabbit in the drills this year because, quote, the rabbit doesn't typically make those movements any other time, so why would we have him do it then?
Yeah.
And then we have him turn around and do the drill. This is not reflective of today's game. A coach will signal the change of direction instead. For offensive and defensive linemen and tight ends, Brian mentioned this one, instead of squaring up to coaches holding bags in certain drills, they'll push a sled.
There you go.
2 to 5 yards. And my favorite. This is my favorite. I like the defensive linemen. I like trying to find the pass rushers, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
For our defensive linemen, for our edge players, they've added a figure eight pass rush drill.
Ooh.
That you'll see at some pro days. So you'll have like two big old hula hoops laying next to each other.
Oh, yeah.
And you run the eight and you time it.
Okay.
Like we use the three cone drill as the time to test flexibility in their ankles and see how
this
quickly they can
better,
turn.
Though, isn't it?
This is even better. It's big old circle.
General, this is where you and I are going to spend a little time down on the field in Oxnard.
Okay.
We're going to go down that one end of the field and watch them do this drill right here around the big hoops.
Get their bend going.
There you go.
Their flex.
There you go.
See, you're working.
4 days with the general. He's already talking about bend.
See, you're working.
I can't wait to get out there and study under Brian and take me under his wing.
And other than that, the only changes are obviously shifting to prime time and what Brian already mentioned. You'll have 45 players that each team can interview at the combine instead of 60. But you will get a little bit more time with each one.
That's right.
And so that's nice.
18 minutes. There you go.
That's the changes to the combine.
I heard Josh Gordon and Martavis Bryant want back in now that they're running the smoke route at the combine, by the way.
I like that.
Sorry, took me a while to get there.
And Greg Robinson.
Greg Robinson is leading Greg Robinson leading the drills.
Yes.
And fewer teams are sending their full staff now, which, Brian, I don't know. Can you tell me the thinking in that? Because to me, it would be let the scouts do their job. Well, you can just watch the tape,
coaches. There's a lot of tape for the coaches to watch, and it's about putting together playbooks and things like that. The Cowboys are, and I was talking to some people about that, about the Cowboys. Their guys are going, but, yeah, they're in a process right now where they're working on those playbooks more than they are scouting.
Well, I like the sound of that. I also wondered what you guys think of this topic that's coming out there where should the players get paid for this, or is it a job interview? Now that they're engineering the TV schedule for maximum profit.
Oh.
I think some players are going to be like, pay me or I'm not coming. I'm a star player. You need me to run or something like that.
I think at this point I'm going to group them in with the college guys because they're not pro yet. Okay. No benefits.
Okay.
No
yes.
benefits till you get drafted, sir.
Yeah.
Please come and do my physical. That's all I need you to do.
Yeah.
Please do that.
Medical is the most important thing.
Please
at the
come and do that. Please.
Just, how are your knees? Yep. How are your shoulders? Please. How is all that stuff?
I need to know, Tua.
How do those interviews go?
They can be pretty rough.
What can you learn about a guy in how long do you get with him?
I learned about a kid, a Cincinnati player named Mac. Tremaine Mack, that was a drunk. He admitted he was a drunk to me. He had an alcohol problem one night.
Oh, man.
He admitted to
it. Did you boost him for honesty?
I did. I went back and told Teddy. I said, Ted Thompson. I go, Teddy, this kid told me he's a drunk. And he goes, really? And we kind of dug into it a little further. He was a second-round pick by the Bengals. 2 years later, he was out of the league because of alcohol.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, but he admitted it. He
so the Bengals didn't interview him about that.
That's Bengals my team, the care. Bengals. The Bengals don't care.
Yeah.
That's why I work for them. They don't care.
Now, do you go to a guy like that and say, okay, let me give you a little bit of advice. Thanks for telling us. Don't tell anybody else because you want the other teams drafting that guy?
I was kind of.
Plus, you were looking out for the kid a little bit.
I was trying to, you know, I appreciate his honesty. Yeah. I really do. These kids are so programmed, you know, but this kid really? Was very, very honest about it. Yep.
I do want to see him add. I'm going back to our American Gladiator stuff. I would love it if they would have an obstacle course.
Yeah.
Because whoever wants to run it, if you think you can run the best time, $20,000 to the winner at the end of the combine, whoever wants to run the obstacle
course.
Now
we're talking, yeah.
The receivers in the corners are going
to
run
it. We're not going to worry about the fast 40. We just want you to run the gauntlet drill with fire blowing all around you and stuff like that.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
You jump across water where you've only got a few spots you can land.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're cooking now.
Those were the good old days, and if you don't know what we're talking about, you're probably under 30, and you missed out. Google it, American Gladiators. Okay, Around the NFL is coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation. Oh, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation. Big day in the world of sports here. Let's go Around the NFL, brought to you by WinStar World Casino and Resort. NFL ownership is trying to get a CBA worked out. They had a meeting in New York today. They packaged up an offer and sent it off to the players. And Jeff Kavanaugh has all the details here on First Down.
Yes, the ownership has voted already to accept the – I love the way they term this. The membership voted today to accept the negotiated terms on the principal elements of a new collective bargaining agreement.
Oh, yeah, we've negotiated these.
Voted today to accept the negotiated terms. So they negotiated with themselves, the owners. And they have decided that this is clearly a good deal after negotiating with themselves. And now it's just a formality to have the player sign it because we already negotiated this for them. And then they can just sign this. Apparently, it was not unanimously accepted amongst the owners.
Okay.
But they have also voted to move forward with the rules for the final year laid out in the old CBA, if the union does not approve the terms. So, if the new CBA is not ratified, then teams will still have two tags if they want to keep two players around. But if they get the new CBA done, that will go away, and you'll just have one.
Based on what we've seen about some of the details of what's in this agreement, I imagine the owners that were like, no, I'm not voting for this, were saying, this is insulting to the players.
I doubt it. But okay. Logically, I think what you're saying makes sense, but I just don't think
you
those
think they were
32...
the other way. Do you think it was the other way? We're not offending the players enough with this offer. Yes. I'm not agreeing to this.
Yes. I think there were at least three or four guys who were like, well, wait a minute. What do you mean? We're going to give them money or something? Like, they're lucky to play for us.
What are you
us?
Talking about fair? What do you mean fair?
Why don't we just make them play an extra game, add a playoff game, and tell them to shut their stupid mouths? I think there was like three or four guys that were thinking like that.
Hey, let's try and put this one by them. What do you think?
Yeah, I got more that we need to put in there, guys. But yeah, a couple of the things in there. First of all, it's starting to sound like you're going to have an extra team in the playoffs from each conference next year, whether they get this deal done or not.
Good.
According to a reporter from the Washington Post, he says the owners will, quote, probably move forward with an extra playoff team, whether they get approval from the players or not. They're just going to say, yep, that's done, and move on with it because they believe that they can do that.
For the good of the game.
And
I agree with them on that.
The other thing that is they're attempting to put in the CBA is a 17th game for the regular season, and I'm pretty sure that it's going to get rejected for that reason. Because one of the things in there is you'll just get a 17th game check that's the same as your other 16 game checks, which sounds great, until you get to the 200 or 300 players who make more than $4 million a year. They would take a giant pay cut for game 17 where they would cap it at $250,000.
Yeah,
so if you make more than $4 million, you will be getting a paycheck as if you made $4 million for the year. – So guys who are making $30 million, congrats. 20, 20, 20, 20, you're getting like 1/7 of a game check for game 17. I don't see that getting approved.
No, I think the NFL does have a history of offering privileged circumstances to their star players. And oftentimes that will kind of get a deal done because the star players are the leaders and all that. I've never seen them try to structure one where the star players are actually getting the worst end of the deal. That's just,
yeah,
that's a really weird strategy to try to get something agreed to. And it goes to my point that I don't know if they were really intending to, you know, create some sort of a deal on this, or this is PR to set up the illusion that they have agreements and they're ready to do business. It's just the players who are too greedy to go along with it.
Yeah, so I don't see this happening. But, hey, maybe we'll have a new CBA, but I'm guessing no, based on just what I'm reading. And I'm not reading that anyone is saying the players won't sign it. I'm just having my own opinion that that would be insane to sign.
Yeah, well, you did say earlier that Richard Sherman was talking with somebody on Twitter, like, bro,
Jamal Adams, you got to call me.
LSU educated. Yeah. Hey, we're getting more money.
Shots fired at your own school.
Stanford man goes, no, hey, bro, call me. Call me, dumb LSU man.
We have some things to talk about.
Whoa.
And then Richard Sherman is now in a very influential position in the NFLPA.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jamal took his tweet down. Sherman's is still up when he retweeted it. It just says, call me, brother. It's never that simple. Got to go deeper than that in this.
Great stuff. All right. Salute to Jeff Kavanaugh there and Richard Sherman on first down here. A second down, I'm going to get you an update here on one of the funniest stories following the Eagles championship parade. Remember the Eagles fan who punched the police horse?
Yes, I remember one guy ate poo one guy punched a police horse.
So yeah, this guy punched the police horse. He got in a bunch of trouble back then. Well, we hadn't heard about him up until today as LehighValleyLive.com reporting Mr. Hendricks barged into a stranger's home and beat one of the occupants bloody. And for that, a Northampton County Judge Samuel Murray has sentenced Hendricks to 4 months to 2 years in prison. He says,
you don't get to go beat people up.
No, especially after breaking into their home. Can you imagine?
Yeah, that's a terrible place to beat somebody up. I do give you permission to beat somebody up that breaks into your home.
Absolutely.
But you can't go both.
Yeah, the lady who was home says at 1:30, she got a knock on the door, and it turned out to be the worst night of my life.
Oh, and it was a lady, too?
Well,
that's three strikes.
She thought someone needed help. She said Hendricks forced his way in, started beating her boyfriend, and slammed his head against the wall. So at least he had the common decency to not assault a woman.
What did she do? She just sat there and watched? Help me.
The story continues.
Grab a pot and pan, hit this man.
That man was capable of, beating up my boyfriend. I'm not going to
He did punch a
too.
Horse.
Yeah, he punched a horse.
Very confident puncher indeed. Before she knew what was happening, her blood-soaked boyfriend, this guy was completely hammered, steps on the scene and start putting in work, you know?
Why isn't this guy getting more than 4 months? He should go to prison for some more time.
It's 4 months to 2 years. So I don't know. Maybe if you don't punch any horses or invade other cell blocks in your time, maybe it'll be 4 months for good behavior, something like that.
I'm running on the platform of mandatory minimums for breaking in and punching someone.
Husband not talking in this story because, of course, you'd be ashamed and embarrassed.
Yeah, he got beat
up. Or maybe it's ex-boyfriend. You think he got beat up and got broken up with? That ever happened to you?
If she got hurt too, yes.
Sonny, I was in love with you, but watching it get beat up like that, I lost the love. Anyway, she says, eventually we were both running out of the house. I was barefoot in my pajamas.
Oh, he ran too?
Yeah, there was blood on my hands, feet, and clothes.
You're not going to beat me up in my house and then me run away.
Yeah.
Not with someone watching.
She should have helped, bro. She really should have helped.
She should have helped.
She's not a rider.
Apparently, they weren't very fast either, though. Not good fighters. Not very fast. Don't have a peephole on their door. Oh. The fighting resumed outside.
Oh, no.
It only stopped when police arrived.
Okay, so did she help outside at least?
Hendricks apologized, and she never helped.
Did all that screaming, stop, stop. You know, that doesn't help, by the way.
Not at all.
No.
Maybe you go over and like kind of shake the guy a little bit or pull on his shoulder a little bit. But
no, if the guy that is beating me up has hair, I demand that as my lady, you at least get a full handful of that and pull as hard as you can.
Yeah.
That's the bare minimum. Yeah.
And if you're a man and you're getting beat up, bite his nose.
I hear you.
Yeah, there's no rules in fighting. You got to win, bro.
Yeah, the soccer guy yesterday bit a guy on the dome.
That did happen.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
You were going to hit a bomb for that. You changed your mind. I pulled that. I saw him reach. He goes, nope.
Now, the Eagles fan has apologized, says he doesn't remember what happened.
Oh.
Defense attorney Gary Astique said Hendricks was confused and went looking for a friend who formerly had lived in the house. Hendricks' lawyer blamed the behavior on alcohol. He's a pretty responsible guy, except for periodic bouts with drinking, said the attorney. The gentleman says, this wasn't something I planned to do. I just kind of ended up at the wrong house, and my intoxicated situation ended up in a fight-or-flight instinct. It's the most regrettable thing I've ever done in my life.
Well, we know his instinct is fight.
Yeah.
And we know that the duty beat up's instinct is flight. So we learned something today.
Yeah. I'd say those instincts are pretty good, too.
I think mine's probably flight more often than not, unless I'm really confident about the result.
Oh, yeah. I want nothing to do with the fight.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
I mean, you could.
I wouldn't run if there were witnesses that knew me. Like, I'd be like, oh, hell, I got to try this. But yeah. If there's no witnesses that know me, I'll run away.
I mean, my best defense is kind of that indignant. You're going to fight me? Man, how immature.
Jeez. Yes, that's a good move. Yeah.
You're just going to punch me in the face?
Nothing's worth fighting over, dude. I'm not fighting.
Yeah.
I can't believe this guy over here, honey. Let's go.
If you want to beat somebody up who's not going to fight back, because that's not for me.
Yeah, you can't attack a guy doing that if he's backing up.
I guess if you want an assault charge on your record, I guess you can beat me up.
Oh, is that all you do is go around and fight? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you believe in fighting? Yeah. I believe in stripping. Yeah. I'm getting naked. You fight.
Here's Brian with third down.
Third down. Guys, you know, we're coming around the corner when we're starting with the draft. We've talked about draft a bunch, but compensatory picks are something that we always – nobody knows the formula. Anybody that works in the National Football League, including the teams, have no idea what the formula is.
They know the ballpark.
They have no idea. You just, at the end of the day, hey, by the way, Cowboys, we're going to give you a couple extra picks here. So – yeah, but there's all kinds of projections. And
the smart teams really try to get these comp picks. They're paying attention to this.
The best team in the league at doing it is the New England Patriots. Yep. So let me give you an example of that. They let Trey Flowers go.
Yep.
You know, he makes an average of $18 million a year. Well, congratulations, New England. You just got a third-round pick for that. The Giants let Landon Collins go. They get $14 million. He gets $14 million. The Giants probably going to get a third-round pick for that. Whoa, here come the Patriots again. They're going to let Trent Brown go, and they're going to get another third-round pick. So these teams, you're right, General, are very smart in the way that they play the free agency market, whether they sign their own or they let their guys go to other teams and try and get. Now, if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan out there, and we hope you are, though, all the Tolos out there, the Cowboys are projected to get a fifth-round pick for Cole Beasley for at this point in time. But the all-time best pick that was ever made with a compensatory player, would you like to guess who that player is?
I know who it is.
You know who
Reggie
it is?
White.
Yeah, I know.
Reggie White. We traded for Reggie White.
Yeah,
no, we signed Reggie White. We didn't trade for it. We traded for Brett Favre.
Well, I guess I don't know a full list of comp picks, but I think it would be hard to get better than a good starting quarterback.
Yeah. Coy Detmer.
Coy Detmer. Oh, that's good.
Another player from your past, maybe?
Remember? Absolutely. He was at my past. Yes, one Dak Prescott.
Oh, Dak.
From the 2016 NFL draft, fourth round pick 135.
Not a bad pick.
Not a bad pick at all. And that was one of those things when you talk about how important. And now teams have the ability to trade these compensatory picks. So the Cowboys looking to take advantage of hopefully that fifth round pick that they get from Cole Beasley and maybe grab them another guy like Dak Prescott.
Do you think that Dak ever looks at the front office and goes, like he's sitting with Jerry one day over a salad, chicken salad or something, and he looks up and he goes, Charles Tapper, huh? And Jerry's like, what are you talking about? He's like, you took him in the fourth and you took me later with the comp pick. Charles Tapper over me. And like, what does Jerry say?
Had to go
like,
for that defensive end, right?
Yeah,
still chasing that defensive end.
We didn't know, Dak.
Well,
sorry.
Come on. We didn't know Charles Tapper's going to keep breaking his foot.
We'll get you the top stories of the day when we come back here in the G-Bag Nation. Take a look at Cowboys Twitter as well. Get you caught up on everything that's been evolving in a big afternoon in the world of sports. Coming up next in the G-Bag Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.